from the San Francisco Bay Area, it's time for Live from the Bay with Joey. Stay tuned.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Live from the Bay with Joey. It is kind of a little bit breezy, cold weather that we're experiencing here in the San Francisco Bay or in Northern California. Tonight, I'm going to have with me Milt Larson, who owns the Magic Castle in Southern California in L.A., and I'm sure you have heard about it. Milt was with us about 3 months ago, I think. We had a show along with Lori Bruno from Salem, Massachusetts. Great show. And tonight we're going to be talking about some new and exciting things that Mr. Larson is going to share with us about Magic Castle. So be sure to stay tuned for that. I'm going to be starting with him shortly. And then for those that don't know too much about Milt, or you haven't heard much about the Magic Castle, which I'd be surprised, I will definitely give you a little rundown on that. I want you to make sure that you stay tuned for some upcoming shows that we got coming up, which I think you're going to find interesting. So again, we have Milt with us tonight, and then next week, be sure to listen on the 4th of February for the author of the 44 series, Jules Sinclair. And then on the 10th, we have Matt Baker, who you have heard, I'm sure, on Animal Planet and, oh, my gosh, the Weather Channel. And he does, he just does hosting and his voiceovers on so many different television networks. So I'm sure you'll, once you hear the voice, you'll go, oh, I know who he is. He'll be joining us. And then we have Eddie Shapiro on the 14th. Destiny Rambo out of Nashville, Tennessee, up and coming singer that you don't want to miss. That will be February the 17th. Tippi Hedren will be with us on the 24th. Then we will be doing Lectio Divina with Shaw and Phil Wyman out of Salem. Phil is out of Salem, Mass, and we'll be doing that. So that is for those that like spiritual meditation, et cetera, that you'll want to join us on that. And then on the 7th, we have Channing Chase. We also will be doing a program with the Sephardic Jews, as we've done in the past. So we're going to be doing another program with them as well. Tony Hoover on the 17th, Denzele Abernathy on the 31st of March, and then Eileen Graff on the 28th. And we have many other things coming. Mamma Mia, that's Italian. That's going to be a show, not just because I'm part Italian, of course, but I'm bringing all my friends that are Italian, famous and infamous people, on the show. So that'll be really a cool show. And then Jason Love, who is a comedian, will be with us on the 21st of April. And those are just some of the things that we've got coming. So we'll make sure you stay tuned. So now, without further ado, let's go into my background on my guest tonight, Milt Larson. He's a co-founder of the Magic Castle, preparing for a new 20th Century Fox film about the Magic Castle, directed by McGee, in conjunction with the release of his new book entitled My Magical Journey. We talked about this the last time he was on the show. We're going to talk about it tonight. We will let you know how you can actually get a copy of that. Now, last year, 2013, was the 50th anniversary of this Hollywood landmark. And in November of 2009, the historic structure, once known as the Lane Mansion, celebrated its centennial. On January 2nd, 1963, that same structure became what is now known as the world's famous Magic Castle. And in January of 2013, fans and fanatics of the mystical and mysterious world of illusion gathered to celebrate its 50th anniversary. I'm still planning on getting down there, so Milt, if you're listening, I will be coming out there sometime. The Magic Castle has grown over the years from its original design to include 13 performance spaces, including close-up magic, the parlor of, I can't even say this word. You're going to have to help me, Milt. Anyway, and, of course, the Palace of Mystery. Practically every great magician of the modern era has appeared within the walls, as well as a few noted amateur illusionists, including Cary Grant, I've never heard of that name, Johnny Carson, Jason Alexander, Dom DeLuise, Tony Curtis, Neil Patrick Harris, to name a few. The Magic Castle is not only the showplace for some of the greatest magicians from around the globe, it also houses one of the largest original collections of Houdini's great tools of the trade, including his personal handcuffs, straitjacket, metamorphosis trunk, and famous milk can escape in the Houdini seance room. The organization promotes the art of magic, encourages fellowship, and maintains the highest ethical standards for the art. So, you know, I'm going to be asking Milt some questions that I didn't ask him the last time. So stay tuned. And I'm happy to have with us and joining us all the way from Los Angeles, Milt Larson. Milt, are you there with us?
I certainly am. I'm rolling out the red carpet for you.
That's great. That's great. How you doing tonight?
Just wonderfully, thank you. It's a lovely night in Hollywood, and it's a beautiful time to be talking to you.
Yeah, so you're not encountering, being that we're in the Bay Area, we're encountering some, this morning it was raining, and then tonight it's a little bit chilly, so you're not encountering that?
No, actually Hollywood is, home for me is in Santa Barbara, so we get a little chillier than Los Angeles, but Santa Barbara, they say the heat wave is anything over 70 and a cold snap is anything under 70. So that, you know, and Hollywood's
right.
About the same way. But, yeah, I spent about half a week down here and half a week up there. And I love it. You know, it's great,
nice.
Great stuff.
That's nice. This afternoon, I felt like I was in California here because it was sunny and nice, but this morning was not, and tonight is not. So anyway, but without talking too much more about the weather, because this is not the Weather Channel, but
my executive director here, Dale Hyman, is in Missouri at the moment, and I talked to him about 3 or 4 hours ago, and he said it's cold.
Oh, yeah.
I said, of course it is, you know. At any rate, we're here and you're here, and let's talk about whatever we want to talk about.
Yeah. So, you know, the last time you were on, we talked about the 50th anniversary and the Magic Castle and its splendor and its glory. And you know, it's really kind of a private, if I recall correctly, it's really a private club, is it not?
Oh, it definitely is. It has been since we opened it, and it's a club of magicians and people that love magic, so it's you don't have to be a magician to join the club. And we have 5,000 members internationally, and mainly, of course, they're in the Southern California area, but we have lots of members up in your area, and we have members in Europe, and in any place you go, there's the Magic Castle. So it's probably the best-known magic enterprise in the world, and we're very proud of that. You know, people know the Magic Castle and they say, how did we get in? And we say, well, it's a private club, but try us.
Yeah, so there's certain times
always interested in new members and people, and of course part of the charm of the castle is the members bringing in their clients and their friends and people. So on a given night, you know, there might be 50 members, but there's 400 people, you know. So it's great. We're very happy here.
I see. Well, yeah, that was my next question, because I know that there are companies that have had events there. So there are probably people that are members and they decide to have an event there and they rent it, right?
We just lived through our Christmas season here and from about Thanksgiving to New Year's, it's just can't get in. You know, I mean, it's too many people, and of course we're not unhappy about that because the cash register goes ding, 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 and stuff. So there's nothing wrong with having a packed house every night, but it's still the holidays are crazy, but you know, really all year in a economy that's not too good, the castle is just always there. It's magic, you know. I mean, we have a magic spell we send over people.
I see. Now, let's see. I wondered, I was having such a hard time with this word. So
Palace of Prestidigitation. I mean, Parlor of Prestidigitation.
Yeah, you know, that's not the easiest word to say. That's not the easiest word to say. And
well,
a
prestidigitator is a magician. I take blame for that because back when we opened the Parlor of Prestidigitation, parlor, we spell it the English parlour, you know, P-A-R-L-O-U-R. And parlor magic goes back to the 18th century or so when the magician would perform for the crowned heads of Europe or thing, but they'd be in parlors. They wouldn't be in theaters. So we called it the parlor. And I said, what kind of an alliteration can I do with parlors? And so I said, well, prestidigitation, that works for me. So we've got the Palace of Mystery, and we've got the Parlor of Prestidigitation. And I'm sorry because, you know, we do have a consumption of certain alcoholic beverages in the castle, and kind of late at night, I'm kind of sorry if I made that the name of the room. Anyway, I'm only kidding.
Yeah, but I'm sure people have a heck of a time saying it after a couple of drinks, right? So,
well, they just say, where's the little
Where's the theater? Parlor? So
we have five theater. Well, we have a big theater, and the parlor is a mid-sized theater, and then we have the close-up gallery, which is where the close-up, and the castle was really built on close-up magic, where, a magician will just do something right in front of your eyes, and you can't figure it out. But that's what it's all about, because, and TV and movies these days, you can't believe anything you see. But if you're about 3 feet away from a magician and they're doing something, you know, they don't have trap doors in their hands and they don't have mirrors in their arms and stuff. So that's what's built. So we have a little small theater that only seats 30 people, but the furthest away from the magician you are is four rows, you know. So and they get
that's
away
pretty,
with murder.
Mm-hmm. So in that small of an environment, that's pretty close, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's very...
And the castle has a mystique, you know. The house was built 100 years ago, and when we started it, my late brother and I started it, 50 years ago, over. And it looked like a house right out of the Addams Family. I mean, it's a French chateau architecture with towers and gargoyles and things. Well, you can't top that. And then the good thing about it is it's only a block away from the Dolby Theater where the Academy Awards are held and the downtown Hollywood. And people say, well, how did you find that? Well, there it was. And I said, that looks like a haunted house to me. Let's go in and haunt it.
No, how funny.
Well,
it's so
perfect for magicians, you know.
Right. I think the only thing that I saw that even came close to that, well, there's a few houses like in San Francisco that have that kind of mystique, but not quite like that. And then in the San Jose area.
The Winchester house down in
What I was going to say. That's in San Jose, the Winchester Mystery House. I was going to say it's probably another one that might be close to that, but they're a little bit different, you know. They don't have any...
The story I'd have is Mrs. Winchester, the Winchester rifle heirs, and a spirit medium told her that spirits were going to get her if she ever stopped building the house, and and because in retribution for all the people that the rifle was killed during the Civil War and everything. Well, Mrs. Winchester took it seriously and never stopped building the house. And my brother used to call me Mrs. Winchester, just kidding, because when we first started the castle, I would be there sawing and hammering and painting and scraping paint off the old mansion. Because at the time we got it, it's kind of a run-down old, they were going to tear it down, but the owner of the property really didn't want to do that. And then I said, well, why don't we turn it into a club? And he said, whoopee, and here we are. So, you know, every town has its haunted mansions, and we're very proud to haunt ours.
Now, that's what I was going to ask you about. Now, we didn't talk about the last time that you were on the show. So that being said, I know you have a seance room, right?
The Houdini seance.
Yeah. So, you know, I know this is all of a, you know, a lot of it is, I mean, it's illusion, right? I mean, we're really talking illusion, but when you've done these seances, those are not really illusion, are they?
Well, here's the thing on the seance, and my father, Bill Larson Sr., who passed away at a pretty early age, but he was Mrs. Houdini's attorney, not Mr. Houdini's attorney, because Houdini died in 1926, and you know, he wasn't back there. But anyway, but he was Mrs. Houdini's attorney, and Houdini made a pact with Bessie Houdini, his wife. He was very, very interested in whether there's a hereafter or you can contact spirits. And he spent a great deal of his life trying to expose fraudulent mediums, which he successfully did. He said anything that they can do to bring back spirits, he could do with trickery and magic. And he proved it.
I see.
You know, people would say, well, we caused Houdini to come back, and I mean, their mother to come back, whoever.
Mm-hmm.
And they appeared in the middle of the table. So Houdini would say, okay, fine, I'll make somebody appear in the middle of the table. What's next, you know? And and when he died, he was right in, you know, he passed away in 1926. And he made a pact with Mrs. Houdini that whoever died first would try to contact from the other side, you know. And they had a code that was only known to Harry Houdini and Bessie Houdini. Beatrice, I call her Bessie because of what the heck. But at any rate, and so every year for 10 years, and that was the thing, after 10 years, give up. And every year on the anniversary of Houdini's passing, which happened to be on Halloween.
How creepy.
There, a lot of people say Houdini was kind of a publicity nut. And they said he might have died a few days earlier, but he really probably held on until he could do it on Halloween. But that's maybe conjecture. I don't know. But and incidentally, two years ago or a year and a half ago, on Halloween we had an almost disastrous fire at the castle, and it started exactly the time that Houdini died in 1926
Are you serious?
Oh,
really?
I'm serious. Yeah.
Now let's talk about something like that. Now, you cannot tell me that that's just happened. That's just something circumstantial. I mean, to me, that's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird.
But the thing, when we do the Houdini seance, which is a very popular feature of the castle, there's one room, and it's formerly in the castle mansion was a bedroom, but it's a large room, and it is filled with Houdini artifacts and, you know, his straitjacket he escaped from and the metamorphous trunk, which was a very famous illusion. And we have those props. But the seance itself that we do is people go into this room, and it's only for 12 people, actually for 10 to 12. And they have a very beautiful gourmet dinner served sort of like a Victorian dinner would have been served. But with the, you know, beautiful food and beautiful wines and everything, and then they take a little intermission, and then they go back into the room and they meet the medium, who is a fellow by the name of Leo Kotzka, currently, and currently being, I think he's been with us for 20 years, but currently he's still there, and he conducts a seance as if it might have been done back in Houdini's day, and the seance is basically doing mind reading type tricks. And if you've seen anybody reading minds on television or wherever they happen to be, they do remarkable things like knowing what's in your pocket or knowing what's in the thing, things they can't know but they know. Well, quite honestly, you know, they're magicians, they're trickery. We wanted to give, I forget who it was, a very famous television personality Magician of the Year award, and he wouldn't take it because I don't want people to think I'm a magician, you know.
Oh, is that right?
So at any rate, so Mrs. Houdini had this seance every year for 10 years called the, on the anniversary of his death. And then 10 years later, they had the final Houdini seance, and that was supposed to be the seance that would end any speculation on whether you could come back from the other side or not.
Mm-hmm.
And because she had a seance every year, and every year they never came up with the secret word. Only Bessie knew. And so on the last year, which is 1936, 10 years after Houdini died, they had a seance on the roof of the Knickerbocker Hotel down here in Hollywood. The hotel was still there, but at that time it was a very fancy hotel. And on the roof they had bleachers set up and the inner circle, and had about 200 people. And my dad was part of the inner circle. We were only 12 people at that table. And Houdini did not come back, and a fellow by the name of Edward Saint cajoled, but it went on for quite a while, and then they had a gun in the middle of the table, a blank gun, and they had some slates and bells to ring and tambourines to shake, and nothing happened. So at the end of that seance, Mrs. Houdini said, you know, Houdini did not come back, and her words were, Houdini did not come back. I don't believe that life after death exists for anyone. Harry, I now turn out the light. Good night, Harry. And that was it. And at that moment, now this is the spooky part.
Okay.
At that moment, now, October 31st in Hollywood is normally a very nice, clear, brisk, nice night, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was. Except that night it rained on the Hollywood Knickerbocker Hotel. A brief shower. It was just long enough to flood everybody on the roof, or wet everybody on the roof. And then it stopped. And the interesting about the whole thing is it didn't rain any place else in Los Angeles. It just rained on that little part of Hollywood. So the people that wanted to believe that Houdini could come back said, well, if Houdini did come back, would he run around shaking bells and shooting pistols and shaking tambourines? Mm-hmm. Or would he come back in a natural form like rain? And the people that didn't want to believe said, well, he didn't come back. So after 10 years of trying, it didn't prove anything. But when we do our Houdini seance in our Houdini room, the medium, Leo, does some remarkable things. You cannot believe how he does it. And quite honestly, it's all entertainment. It's all a trick. He does not communicate with spirits at all.
Wow.
And then the very last part of the seance, in our special room, is we've got to refer to it as the Disney ride.
Mm-hmm.
But about the last 8 minutes, the lights dim down and the organ starts, and the little pipe organ that Houdini had, or Mrs. Houdini had, and things happen in that room that are very, very spooky and mysterious and cannot happen. And quite honestly, if a fuse blows someplace, it might not happen. But it's very effective, and we do our little super show, and then as the people are leaving, shaken by the fact that spirits have come up. But it's a lot of fun. We do it strictly for entertainment, and nobody in the castle really believes Houdini ever comes back, except, a year and a half ago, on the day that he died, we had a major $500,000 fire here at the Magic Castle. So maybe there's something to all this stuff. You know?
Well, I think there probably is. But, I mean, have you ever had any other weird stuff happen there, or has that just been pretty much the only?
People have asked me that from time to time, and, you know, it's what you consider to be weird. But there's one story, which is very true, and I like it, and so I'll tell it. But it's,
okay. I always like stories.
In the very early days of the castle, where we now it's expanded, so we have more than just the original mansion. But as I think I said earlier, I did a lot of the actual carpentry and woodwork in the castle.
Right.
And up in the tower, the castle is a typical Victorian chateau, and it has a tower of three floors. And up in the tower is a nice room that I made my office. And so one night, it was a dark and stormy night. Well, it was a dark and stormy night. And one night it was really raining outside, and I had to be at the castle early in the morning, so I just decided I'd stay over and went up to my office. I had a nice couch and figured, well, they'll be there. And it was a really stormy night, and at one point the power failed, and the lights went out all over Hollywood. I mean, you looked out the tower window, and there's one of the things about the castle, it's on the hill and it overlooks Hollywood, and it was just a power failure. Well, that's not uncommon. It happens all the time. So anyway, but I looked out, and after a little while, I decided I'd just go downstairs and, see what's happening. And
uh-huh.
So, I mean, this is the middle of the night.
Right.
And I grabbed a flashlight and went downstairs, and I heard a piano playing. Now, people that have never been in the castle will have to realize that we have a ghost piano player.
Okay? Oh, I've heard about this. Yeah.
It's called Invisible Irma. It is called, she is called Invisible Irma. And it's a grand piano in a room called the Invisible Irma Room. And people go in there and they can request any tune they'd like to hear ever written, and Irma will play it on the grand piano, and it's a wonderful illusion. Obviously there's somehow that happens, but that's a gag that we have here at the castle, and everybody loves it. People go in there and, hello Irma, how are you, and her little invisible bird tweets, and she plays the piano. It's beautiful. It's a piano that was Jose Iturbe's original ballroom piano. A beautiful piano. Anyway, so I'm heading down from my office tower, and total blackout in Hollywood, and I hear the piano going. Well, it can't be playing, because electronically it can't be playing, okay? It's a illusion, it's a gag, it doesn't work, there is no ghost, okay?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I'm letting your listeners
okay.
know it's
right.
a fake, it's a fraud, it's miserable, and I hate the fact that we both. But anyhow, but people love it, and that's it. But anyhow, so how is it playing? And I got down to about the landing of the first to the second floor, which is a grand stairway. And just as I got down there, it stopped playing. Now, I swear to God and anybody else that will listen, that's what happened. There is nobody there. The burglar alarms were on, but it's engaged because I was there. And nobody was in the building. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning. And who can explain things like that?
So, no, I mean, there's no way.
So that's our house goes. But we had a lot of things. You know, I had a theater in downtown Los Angeles, a variety arts theater, and then a Mayfair Music Hall in Santa Monica, which were other enterprises I did. And we all had our house ghosts. And I think every theater has a house ghost. So, and if anything goes wrong, you blame it on a house ghost. So something goes wrong at the castle, we'll say, hey, Irma did it.
There you go. And, you know, and quite honestly, you know, when a house is that old, you know, like in the case of this home being 100-plus years old, you know, there's a lot of memories that go with that. And we we don't always have answers for why things happen the way they do. Or we don't have always answers for, and I know we're going to keep this on your show, but let me tell you something really quick. I know somebody that has a house here, well, in Northern California somewhere, and let's say it's in the wine country area, and the house is 125 years old, and it's a Victorian. Now, I have been in that house where when I'm pretty intuitive. I pick up a lot spiritually. When I first walked into the house, I could sense something was odd. I couldn't figure out what it was. I have been in the backyard where I've seen the actual French doors open up with nobody opening them at all. They've just swung open. Okay. Now, the person that lives in the house is somebody that's very close to me, has actually seen apparitions of people that are no longer alive there that appear in, like, mirrors and things like that. So, you know, and has heard footsteps up the stairwell in the middle of the night.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody's there.
Well,
I mean,
you know,
so how do you explain? You just can't explain. But the neat thing about what you guys do is this is illusion. Now, having said that, what do you think about these new guys that have come out? Some of those, like that David Blaine, there's another one by the name of, what's his name, Chris somebody. Anyway.
Chris Angel.
Chris Angel. You know, they kind of, some of their stuff is kind of creepy, you know, because you're looking at it and you're like, how did they do that? There's just.
Well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the wonderful magicians I've seen in my life, and my life, as it says in my book, the first 30,000 days of my life, which equates to I was 81 when I wrote the book. But at any rate, in my long life, because my family were all magicians and my dad would take me to see magicians, I've probably seen more magicians than any human being in the world.
Right.
Some of the newer magicians, including David Blaine and Chris Angel, rely a lot on technical
technology.
Effects
okay.
and all that sort of thing. And as a magician, we like to think that if you're not next to the magician, like we do this at the castle, if you're not right next to the close-up magician, you know it's not any kind of gimmickry or photography. They're doing something really amazing. And I think some of the ones you just mentioned have made a reputation by doing things on television that when they get in front of an audience, it's not that good, you know, because you can't do what they did. So at any rate, I have nothing against them. I personally don't adhere to that philosophy, but it's I think the big key to this is imagination of magic. I mean, the whole philosophy of magic is magicians will do the impossible. Mm-hmm. And if a magician says, or if somebody says, make a table levitate, well, a magician can make it levitate in about 40 different ways, you know. And you say, well, that's impossible. Well, of course it is. But on the other hand, we don't show them our secret ways of doing those things, you know. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. I think the... you know, the movie, Magic Castle, Fox movie is coming out, has a great deal to do with what might have been something that could have happened in the history of the world that might have been happening in this group of magicians. And it's a wonderful story. I can't tell you too much about it because... we want you to go see the movie, you know.
Absolutely. Now, when do you expect the movie that is going to be coming out?
The what?
When do you expect that it will be coming out?
Well, in the stage of production now, you know, we've been working on the project for about 3 years, but it's a huge budgeted picture with Fox, and. The director is set. That's McGee, who's got a marvelous reputation. And then the writers are top drawer writers best in the business. Andrew Barrier and Gabe Ferrari are wonderful writers. And so now the reason I'm backing up on this is because the first thing is the concept. And Fox Radar Pictures, that's Ted Fields' company, they liked the idea of doing something with the castle, and they actually optioned the story from us and said, let's do something with it. And so it is going to be an action, fantasy, wonderful kind of picture. But the... from going from the inception of the idea to where we are now is the director has now approved the final scripts. The writers have done the usual 20,000 rewrites from the first stage, and I'm a writer, so I know that part. There's no such thing as the final rewrite. But the... Fox is happy with everything, and we just had a meeting last night and with one of the principals involved, and they said that they're hoping that they might start the casting procedure by the end of February,
which
would mean that once they do that, that's the next step, and then it would probably go into production, let's say in... maybe April, and probably we're looking at a release probably around the end of 15, maybe end of next year. So it's a long haul, but you know, if they're spending $300 million making a picture, they're not taking too many chances. So,
wow. Can you imagine?
We don't get the $300 million.
Wow, $300 million.
Well,
what I would do with $300 million?
They feel a picture like this is probably, by the time the production plus the advertising and marketing and all that stuff, and that's what they gamble. But when you see these grosses in the paper and everything, you know, the top grosses of the week, and you know, it's a gun. What is the last one? Huge. I mean, it's a...
Oh, yeah.
What, $100 million or something?
Right, and people want things like this. You know, people want this type of mystery and illusion. And
well,
this
I think
what
the wonderful thing
like.
About this, yeah, the wonderful thing about the movie is when people say, "Oh, there's going to be a movie about the Magic Castle," and they say, "Oh, that's nice." The cameras go in and look around the room, and it's like a travelogue or something. It's anything but that. It is a what might happen through this thing, and it goes from there into, let's say, a world more akin to let's say Harry Potter or something like that, which is, you know, impossible graphics and impossible this and impossible
right.
that. And it all boils down to the fact that, you know, there's this group of magic that's happening, and the evil forces are fighting the good forces, and there's good magic in the bad guys. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, you can write any script, and as I say, I'm a writer. I don't do movies, but my old television background. You write any plot on the back of a matchbook, you know. I mean, the bad guys have to get put in their place, and the good guys
mm-hmm.
always win, and there has to be the love story and the whole thing. So, you know, you put that in your pocket, then a few hundred pages later and a few $1 million spent, you make a movie. So we're pretty happy about it. I am so excited about this picture because
I would be
everybody,
too.
Everybody involved with it, including Ted Fields and Mike Weber, who's an associate of the Ted's, and Barr and Farah. I mean, they are, they've come up with a thing that I think is going to knock the socks off of people. And ideally, if the castle isn't known worldwide
now,
which it is, then when the movie comes out, they say, oh, is that what it's all about? And then they'll say, when they go to the castle, they say, well, I don't remember there being a seven-story library, but they'll have to figure that out.
Mm-hmm. But you know what's going to happen. I mean, that type of exposure, your business is just going to soar and soar. It's already great, but it's going to be super great because they want to know where they want to know where things are. Listen, remember years ago when Falcon Crest was on? Do you remember that?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, remember the house that was filmed? Okay. Well, that house is in Napa. It's outside of St. Helena. And, you know, I was there with a girlfriend. This is years and years ago. Found out where the house was. We wanted to take pictures. We ended up in this, I'm not kidding you, ended up in this creek. And we were taking pictures of this house, and this lady comes up to us. She goes, do you think this is the house from Falcon's Crest? And I looked at her. I said, lady, if it's not, we're a bunch of fools because we're all in this creek taking pictures of somebody's house, and we don't even know what the hell. But it was. But what I'm getting at is something like that draws in people, whether it's movies, television, what have you, and people want to know and they want to connect. So that's awesome. So we're going to be looking out for that and also tell people. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, our problem is that the castle, and it's just for whatever reason, after 50 years, it's still a pretty hot spot. And if you wanted a reservation at the castle and called up our reservation people today and wanted a weekend, they would say you have to have a weekend sometime after April. We're
mm-hmm.
solidly booked through April. Now, if the picture comes out and everybody wants to see the castle and wants to come here, and our 5,000 members say we don't want any more members, then we have to say, go away. And
right.
Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing for any business in the world to say you have too many customers? So as excited as we are about the concept of the castle, and it has started us thinking about maybe having similar type of things someplace else or something, but it's just a very exciting thing to have, particularly at my stage of life, because I've, you know, people retired 20 years ago in my world, but and I'm still working on other projects, including restoring a couple of theaters and things, and, you know, why retire? I mean, you have fun. John Calvert,
absolutely.
Who is one of our magicians, and he unfortunately passed away, but he passed away at 105 years old, so, you know.
Wow, that's awesome. That's
so
awesome.
I figure if I could get up to 100, I'll be okay.
You'll be okay.
Yeah.
Well,
George Burns and Bob Hope made it to 100, so.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of people that are making it 100
beyond. I think these days, you know.
Yeah, I mean, sure. that's just norm, you know. I mean, it's funny.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
Middle
in a way.
Age is 70 now.
Right, Well, it's true. I mean, as we progress, and you know, as we progress and we get older, I remember when I was in my teens and 20s, by the time somebody was like in their 50s, you know, somebody hits 50, I was like, man, oh man, they are old, okay? But now that I'm 50, it's like, man, oh man, are they old when they're 120?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It changes. We just add, yeah. So,
wonderful gentleman at the castle, he's called the Professor Divern, and probably one of the most respected magicians in the world because he wrote books and invented magic and performed magic. And he lived to be 1 year this side of 100. But wow. When I started the castle when I was 30 years old, and Di Vernon was having his 70th birthday at the castle. And I remember, and I guess at that time I was maybe 35 or something, and I said, God, how can a man live to be that old, you know? Well,
right.
After I passed my 70th birthday and then my 80th birthday, I said, well, you know, that's not too bad.
Right, right. Well, it's true. It's
no matter true. No matter where you are, what you are, when I was in high school, I was very involved with the drama and stage
right.
managing and everything.
Right.
And the teacher of all that, a fellow by the name of E.J. Winning, but he was this wonderful old person who taught the play production and everything classes at Los Angeles High School. Well, it turned out later, after we opened the castle, he came in as a guest. He was only about 10 years older than I was. You know?
Right,
so,
right.
Whoopee! You know,
yeah,
whiz,
exactly.
You know.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
exactly.
Anyhow,
well,
there's hope for us old guys, you know.
There you go. Well, you're not old, so you're young. So listen, I want so we can wrap this up. I want you to let people know your book, which is a wonderful book. Let people know how they can reach it. Also, let them know if they're interested in getting a hold of you or the Magic Castle, how they can do that.
Well, it's really easy, book-wise. It's called My Magical Journey, and it's the first 30,000 days of my life. It's an autobiography. It's actually a third book I've written, but this is the new one. And I've tried to do it with delightful humor because I was born in a magic trunk, and it goes through my life of doing all these really stupid things like producing television shows and writing and stuff. So it's more than magic. But I've tried to say it's very entertaining that a guy could go through his whole life never working a day because I loved everything I was doing. And there's a lot of philosophy to that. And it's also got about 200 pictures in it, full color, almost every page. I love the book. I read it myself, okay? Now, they can get it by going to Amazon or you name it. Your local bookstore may or may not have it. But also, the big news of the day, because just recently, it's now an e-book on Apple or
Kindle?
You can
Kindle.
Get it on that. And
I
take the train up to Santa Barbara all the time, and it used to be people be reading their pocketbooks. And now on the train, everybody's got
Kindle
iPad
or
whatever
like
it happens
yeah.
to be, and they're all flipping pages electronically. So,
right.
So we're part of the thing. And
right.
So anyhow, the book is very, very available, and if people would like information about the book or the Magic Castle particularly, they could go to the website. It's www.magiccastle.com.
Okay.
And it's pretty easy. If anybody wants to get in touch with me, just send an email. You know, I love that. It's magicmode@AOL. What the hell?
Yeah. Yeah. No. And you're a delight. And you know, it's always been a joy when I've had a chance to talk to you because you're a very easy and approachable man to communicate with. And being a performer myself, I know that a lot of times those type of personalities. You know, some people are really good at communicating well on stage, but not necessarily off stage. And you're good at both. So anyway, I commend you for that, and congratulations.
I have fun, and I always have. I'm a ham at heart, but I could never hold down a good acting job because I can't remember lines or anything. But I love talking, and I'm a ham, so therefore you just ask me questions. We could go on for hours and hours because you're having fun. I'm having fun. And maybe we dispel a little bit of information along the way, you know.
That's right. That's right. So again,
great talking to you, Joey.
Yeah, you as well. And I just want to let people know, again, if you want to get a hold of Milton Magic Castle, he's giving you the website, which, again, is really easy, right? It's magiccastle.com. I mean, how much easier can that be? Be sure to stay tuned for the movie that's going to be coming out in the future. Milt's book, like he was telling you, is available not only through Amazon, but it's available readily on anywhere that you could get an e-book.
Kindle and all those things, you know.
Yeah, so that's great. Great to know. And that is the way of the future. Let me tell you, that is the way of the future. So anyway, again, I'm looking forward to at some point coming out there and, you know, just being able to go and experience the Magic Castle myself. I've heard a lot of great things about it.
Well, you've got to come down here. You know, it's downhill from San Francisco. I mean, it's not like you have to go uphill all the way, but it's
At one of these points,
I rolled out the red carpet, but it's out there for you when you want to come down.
Well, thank you so much, and I'll let you know, and it'll be a pleasure to be able to see that firsthand and the wonderful shows and just the experience of that. I want to get there before the crowds, the major crowds, start bombarding you guys after the movie comes out, you know? So I want to make sure that I get down there pretty pronto. All right. So again, Milt, thank you so much, and thank you for joining us. Do you have any other closing thoughts you want to make? Or
no, it's just been a pleasure. It's always a pleasure talking to you, Joey. And you know, we love, you know, if there would ever be another castle in our world, it would be probably in San Francisco. You know, there's a lovely building there that looks like a castle. We almost got there one time, but we did the thing. So anyhow, if we go up that way and open a castle, we'll let you know.
Okay, and here's some magic for you. Here's some magic for you upon leaving. Because, you know, where I'm at in my studio, it's virtual, right? But we definitely want to thank you
so much for joining us.
And folks, again, please, you know, definitely look out for the movie, which is going to be wonderful. Get a hold of that book of Milt's, My Magical Journey. I had the opportunity of looking through that book and seeing it, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful book. So, again, really, it's something worth getting. And, you know, there's a lot of people that probably you have some family and friends that would just really love having a copy of this, even on their coffee table. It would make a wonderful gift, anything else. So, again, you know how to get a hold of Milt. The website, magiccastle.com, can't make it any simpler than that. And then how to get a hold of that book, My Magical Journey, Milt Larson, folks. And it's all on our show page here. So, again, until the next time, this is Joey saying, take care.